If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 50 and verse 6 for just a few moments this morning. I'm going to talk to you about something that is so important to your spiritual life and so important to your testimony. I'm going to talk about finding that resting place in the Lord. I want to talk about learning to lean on Jesus. Everybody say, learning to lean on Jesus. Has ever heard that song, learning to lean, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Praise God. Well, I want to keep that message in the forefront of my own life because I went through nervous exhaustion because I didn't lean heavily enough on Jesus. I leaned more on the anointing than the person who could give me peace. And that's why people under the anointing break. Robert Gass pastored a church in Bangor, Maine. I was privileged to go to that church to perform a wedding years and years ago. And I went to a church of 1,500 people. Robert and his brother Neil pastored that church. It was Pentecostal, and they believed in the power and the anointing of God. He was anointed, spirit-filled preacher of the gospel, and he was asked to come to PTL and speak for them at one of their televised meetings when PTL was in its prime. And he preached it at PTL, and because of that exposure at PTL, he became in demand internationally to come and speak at churches. He booked up over a year, almost immediately, to preach in different states and different countries. His ministry evangelistically grew to the point that he based his ministry out of Atlanta because he could easily fly in and out and make connections for international flights out of that hub of the Atlanta. He became extremely busy. He got a television broadcast locally in Atlanta where he ministered and ministered, as I said, internationally, sometimes flying back just in time to make a television broadcast and then leaving and going out again. Began to take the toll on his family life, begin to take a toll on his spiritual walk with God. Now, it's incredible that you can be so busy in the work of the kingdom that you can begin to just give out so much without taking in that. And that's why anointed preachers fail. One of the staggering statements in the Old Testament is about Saul, who was clearly called and anointed of God to be the king of Israel. And he operated in battle under a holy anointing of God. And when he led Israel in battle under that anointing, they could not be defeated because God was with them. The anointing does, in fact, break the yoke, regardless of what it is. Can you say amen? But the anointing does not produce or create rest or peace in your soul. Amen? And Bob Gass came to a place where he said in his personal testimony that just to choose the tie. Now, this may say, if you've never been to the brink of nervous exhaustion, you don't know what that's all about. But he said the pressure, he said, I would stand and catch myself standing in an open closet trying to find a tie to coordinate with my coat and just the pressure of the decision, which tie would be the best with this coat, begin to overwhelm him. Now, the anointing would kick in when it came time to read from scriptures or preach. Remember when Jonathan and Saul fell in battle? What David said about that? He said, how art the mighty? Through what? What made them mighty? The anointing made them mighty. Nothing less could do that. Nothing else could do that. How are the mighty fallen? Listen to this. It's as if they had not been anointed. You see anointed people fall and you say, how can they fall with such power operating in their life? It's because power is not what keeps you. Amen. Can you say amen? It's a person who keeps you. In him, Paul said, not in the anointing, but in him we live, we move. I didn't mean to do that. It wasn't you, it was me. Amen. I stepped on your foot. That's why Pamela never takes me dancing. Amen. Praise God. And she's sick and tired of it. Big old blue toe coming home said, we had a great time, didn't we? She said, oh yeah, it was great. Amen. Listen. It's the anointing. I've met anointed people down through the years, and I appreciate the anointing. Without the anointing, I can't preach this morning. Amen. Because I have to depend, and I want to depend on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I can tell you, after all of these years, amen, and tears, that the anointing in and of itself is not what is keeping me. It's not how much power I have within me. It's the person that is indwelling me. You can't love this power. You can't find peace or rest in the power of God. But you can find it in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why He said, "Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you what?" You're already, see, you can be as anointed as you could possibly be, but only Christ can give you rest. And we need to come back as the church of Jesus Christ to the person that can give us rest, the person that can fulfill us, the person that can fill us up. In fact, the Holy Ghost ministers more than power in our life. He is the mediator of the person of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus talked of the Holy Spirit coming, in the same breath in the New Testament, He said, "I will come back to you." Well, how does He do it? Because the Holy Spirit, when He comes, who's He going to point to? Who's He going to manifest to you, mediate His presence to you? When He comes, He will testify of what? Of who in your life? Of me, Jesus said. He will not speak of Himself. I'll give you a little beware this morning. Beware of any ministry that puts the Holy Spirit above Jesus Christ. Puts the power of God before the person of God. Puts faith, amen, above God's faithfulness and fidelity. Can you say amen? So his wife was ready to leave him. He'd lost relationship with his children. But boy, he was anointed when he preached. He was in Rome, Italy, standing before a fountain in Rome, where Three Coins in a Fountain, the movie, was made. And there are three lions pouring water out into the fountain. Water coming out of the lion's mouth. And that's when the Lord was able to speak to him in Rome, Italy. He said, "This is my ministry. Always pouring out and never stopping to drink in anymore." Can you say amen? That's ministry. Always pouring out, but never stopping to drink it in. And in Pentecost, there's a danger in particular where there's such an emphasis on the power of God, even at the expense of the person of Jesus Christ. When I grew up in Pentecost, everybody wanted the power. We were power hungry, power oriented, power focused. Right. Amen. But we were not person focused. And many people that should have been my mentors, that should have been my example, fell away. And I wondered, how could they fall away? They prophesied. They spoke in tongues. They had visions and dreams. They had all of these gifts of the Spirit operating in their life. How could they? How are the mighty fallen? It's as if they were not anointed. When Jimmy Swaggart fell twice, people that were close to the situation said he never stopped to drink in. So many opportunities to preach, he kept going and going and going. Now that may be all right for a fictional Energizer bunny. Can you say amen? It may be all right for a Timex commercial. Amen. Remember the old Timex commercial? They put a Timex watch on an outboard motor, turned the motor on, and then pulled it out of the water, and it was still ticking. However, I would not want that watch. I would not buy that watch if they put it back in a pretty package and polished it. Can you say amen? But they here. Remember how they sold them? Takes a licking, keeps on ticking. What's the Energizer Bunny do? Amen. The Energizer Bunny keeps going and going and going and going and going. Amen. When the disciples went out that were so anointed with power and authority that they were able to cast out demons, they were so excited, they were ready to just keep going and going and going and going. And they came back and told Jesus in that excitement about the power. And they said, "Jesus, demons are subject unto us through thy name." Jesus answered this way. He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." In other words, this is nothing really to crow about. amen, using the authority of my name to see demons cast out because he is a fallen angel, amen, and my name has authority in three worlds, amen. Can you say amen? In heaven and earth and things beneath the earth, praise God, amen. But he said you should rejoice in this. Don't get away from the cross, no matter how anointed or ministerially oriented you are. Stay close to the cross. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. You should rejoice not that devils are subject to you through the anointing and the authority of my name, but rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life. Can you say amen? I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you as long as I have breath, and anyone that will listen by radio or wherever God sends his gospel, the revival, when it really comes, not the ones that fizzle out. Because believe me, they're man-driven if they fizzle out. They're emotions-driven, and some of them are just phony from the onset. Amen? And we don't need to be hoodwinked or hornswoggled anymore. If you don't know that, watch Looney Tunes and Yosemite Sam will explain that to you. Can you say amen? Listen to me. It's baloney. It's phony baloney. It don't last. It doesn't produce any lasting fruit. But there's a God-driven revival. A truly spirit-driven revival. Amen. Down in China, over in China. And it is happening in spite of the persecution. And there's no superstar, super anointed preacher leading it. One thing about it, when it's God-driven, there is no superstar but Jesus. Can you say amen? The revival didn't start when the preacher showed up, and it don't quit when he leaves. The revival in Wales, the notorious revival in Wales where coal miners fasted and prayed until God began to move. Amen. They prayed for a preacher to come and preach to them, and God sent them a preacher. But the revival had broke out before the preacher even got there. He got there late. He got there so late. He got there at 10 o'clock at night. He was delayed. Amen. He met the man that was going to show him to his hotel room. Amen. And he said, well, I suppose we'll begin the meeting tomorrow night. He said, no, they're there waiting for you. It's 10 o'clock. The preacher hadn't shown up, and they're all there. Now, I don't care what mega church you go to, amen, if they start at 6 p.m. in the evening and the preacher ain't there by 10 at night, go in and take a look. Can you say amen if the show don't start? Can you say amen? Come on, if the show don't start, honey, ain't nobody going to stay waiting on God. We got things to do, people to see. Amen. We got to work. We got school. We got everything else. This thing's supposed to be on at 6 sharp. It's supposed to be over at 7. And if it's not over at 7, you're in my time. You call that revival? Is that revival? Is that the best the Holy Ghost can do? Is God's people hungry for the living God? You can't see a miracle no matter how hard you strain. You can barely hear out of thousands of people a victory testimony of the supernatural occurring because God ain't going to show up where people said, you get in here, you get it done because I got things to do. Can you say amen? But God showed up in Wales because they didn't have anything better to do than cry out and seek him till he come and rain righteousness upon them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They were hungry for God. And he said, you're going to find me when you seek for me, when it is convenient, when you can work it into your schedule, when everything is timely and you can do your thing without anything of mine encroaching on you. Well, I'll just show up and show you my miracles. He has never done it. He will never do it. If he's not worth your time, if he's not worth your effort, if he's not worth seeking out, you will never find him because this weak flesh will always run toward the world. He said they're waiting for you. A God-initiated revival is not based on a gifted man. C.H. Spurgeon saw souls won in that great cathedral, one of the first mega churches Spurgeon preached in England. Amen. And he preached a very biblically sound message, but there was no peculiar, special thing that he brought than the gospel of Jesus Christ to that pulpit. Amen? Preacher came by our way not too many years ago with Independent Assemblies of God, and he was talking with me. We went out to lunch together, and we were sitting there, and he said, you know, I had a hard time as I come down through the States. He said, I would call up a church and ask them if they'd like me to come and speak, that were part of the Independent Assemblies of God, people that could vouch for him, so that, you know, because you never know what you're going to get. You can't just do it anymore. You had a better chance of, but now you got to know who you're dealing with. Amen. You can't take anything at face value anymore. We had a man come in here one time, and he wanted to preach, and I guess he had got on this bandwagon, because that preacher I was having lunch with said he would call up a pastor, and he said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I preach the word of God. He said, no, I mean, what do you do? Do you play a guitar? Do you play the piano? Do you have the gift of this or the gift of that? Do you have the gift? Do you have the word of knowledge? Do you have the gift of miracles? In other words, what do you do? Amen. Don't just bring us the word of God. Yeah, bring us something that can, you know, that's no big deal. I mean, that's only the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, and that will abide forever. Can you say amen? Let's don't even try to get the church excited over God's eternal word and God's eternal son. Can you say amen? And the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is God's choice. Amen. How shall they believe upon him? God chose through the foolishness of preaching to do what? The greatest miracle that there is in the universe. The healing of blind eyes, if the spiritual eye doesn't open, if the scales don't fall, if the soul is still lost, opening the eyes of a blind man is nothing. The Bible said if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It'd be better to go to heaven blind, because when you get there, you're going to get new eyes. Amen. Than to go to hell with both eyes sitting in your head seeing clearly. Jesus taught pretty plain, didn't he? You never hear that anymore, because sin isn't a big issue anymore. So he was asked, what is your gimmick? This guy that came here, he had a gimmick. He said, God has called me to interpret dreams. I thought, well, I don't see that calling in the scripture. Amen. God could give me an interpretation of a dream, but as a dream interpreter is my ministry. That's my anointing. That's my calling. He said in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Amen? For one purpose. Amen? For one purpose. One purpose. For the building up of the body of Christ, for instruction in righteousness. He's put us in here till we all come for the unity of the faith, till we all come. One fivefold ministry for one purpose, one singular, till we all come to the kind of faith, amen, where we can just speak and things happen. Amen. No, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Can you say amen? So within true ministry, there's going to be a strong attack on your flesh and mine. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to learn how to walk in the Spirit, and you cannot walk in the Spirit until you crucify the flesh. Can you say amen? Crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, all of the passions of the flesh, that we might have a life in the Spirit that's an abundant life. Praise God. When he talks of the abundant life, amen, people with dollar signs in their eyes, amen, with a heart just set on the material world, amen, sensual, devilish, having not the Spirit. Can you say amen? How do you know they don't have the Spirit? Amen. Because they say, come tie my bow tie. Amen. Amen. Listen, birds can mimic tongues. Amen. You think that birds can do that? A minor bird can say anything he hears you say. If you're French, he'll talk it. Amen. Portuguese, he'll say it. Amen. I mean, he can mimic, he can parrot what you say. Can you say amen? But when it comes by the Holy Spirit, it's more than just tongues. You have more than just a powerful anointing. You have the Spirit of truth abiding in you. Can you say amen? And when the Spirit of truth is abiding in you, you're going to look at that word differently. You're going to see it through a spiritual lens, not just a physical and a material lens. So when the Bible said, I came to give you, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give you life and that more abundantly. You know what they see? They see stuff. Everybody say stuff. They see an abundance of things. And yet Jesus went on to put that in context, and he said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Can you say amen? So abundant life can't be about things, can it? If that's not what really life is all about. It can't be. God knows what you need to exist and what your body needs. You need shelter. You need a car to go to work. You need to pay your light bill. But listen to this. Whether you have a crystal chandelier hanging in the foyer of your mansion, I don't think God could give a holy hoot. Because he knows what's going to happen to that mansion. And he knows what's going to happen to that crystal chandelier. And he knows what's going to happen to this world as it stands right now. Can you say amen? And he knows what's going to happen to your body. When I first started going to the gym years ago, I was in my early 30s. I was 212 pounds, and it wasn't muscle. It was Pillsbury Doughboy. Amen. I tell you, I went in that gym, and I looked pretty big, you know, because I was 224 pounds. But I'd been pastoring for several years. 27 years old, I went into pastoral ministry. I quit Tampa Electric. I quit all that physical stuff. And my you know how I used my bicep? Over at Sister Hodges' house, picking up that gravy and biscuits, sopping up that, building my, she did make big biscuits, but building my bicep. Can you say amen? How many reps? It depends on how many biscuits she cooked. Amen. But she always gave me something to eat when I went over there. Amen. And I got on up. I was a big guy, you know, and I got in that gym and I saw these little guys that had been working out, and I saw them get in there and they were pumping that iron. And I thought, man, that little guy there could do that. I can do that. Look how big I am. Amen. I got down under that stuff. My eyes started bugging out, and I realized that the weight I was carrying was not, amen, that good stuff that I wanted, amen. You know what the Bible said? Bodily exercise profiteth a little, because it's just for our flesh, but the Spirit quickeneth. The Spirit giveth what? Giveth life. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Praise God. When you find that our life is hid in Christ and God, amen, we find that everything we need, he is the fountainhead of everything to satisfy our soul. Amen. When we discover who Jesus is and what he's supposed to be to us, can you say amen? Well, then whatever we have, we look at the world. We do not envy the world. The scripture said, my son, let not thine heart, let not thine eyes envy the world. Let not thine heart go after them. Why? Because all they see is the material world. They can't see past it. There's a guy on television the other day pulled out a $100 bill and said, no woman in the world makes me feel like this. And I thought, you're sick, man. You're sick. And I'm not just talking about sexuality. I'm talking about a relationship. He says, the money is my mistress. The money is my lover. You can't serve two masters. For you will love one and hate the other. And it's clear where the love is. Amen. And the love of money is what? Don't get me wrong. If somebody give me $100,000, I know how to spend it. Come on, he's not talking about not enjoying a blessing. It's talking about something that people get obsessed with. That they are driven in their mind and driven in their life for one purpose, and that's to accumulate more wealth. Amen. You can't serve two masters. For you will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. And the first time that wealth as a god, wealth as an idol has been set up, wealth has been given a name, Mammon. Come on. You can't serve God and Mammon. And Mammon is more than money. It takes on an entity and a personality. Listen, if false gods were nothing more than that stone figure of Buddha, they couldn't bring as many people under their control. But listen, if man bows to anything he's made with his hands and makes it his God, the devil is going to have a demon impersonate that God to them. It's not that they're not having a spiritual experience. They are. It's just the wrong spirit. Can you say amen? But it is not dead. The difference is we have a God who is real. Amen. He has eyes that can see, ears that can hear, hands that can reach down to us. Praise God. Amen. He's not like the gods who are truly no gods, but demons impersonating a God. Amen. Listen. When wealth becomes an actual entity, you can't serve God and mammon.
Yes, sir.
You notice no one that has made wealth their goal in ministry. None of them can live just a good, normal life. They have to live in opulence. And you know what it proves? It proves there's a hole in their heart that only the things of the Spirit can fill. But because they're looking at the things of the flesh and the things of the world, they that are of the flesh, what do they mind? What do they talk about? What is the constant of their life? They mind the things of the flesh. Does God care about whether you eat or drink or clothe? Yes, He does. He cares about you. He promised to meet your need, not your greed. Can you say amen? Amen. He promised to give you everything that pertains to life and to godliness. But He reminds you that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. I believe ministry that preaches that. Amen. And if we don't preach that, we're not preaching the whole or true gospel. Can you say amen? I believe ministry that preaches that ought to reflect that. And that don't mean ministers ought to live as paupers. It means that we ought to live a life that says we're not just living for here. We're not filled with pride. We're not trying to prove to the world that we have arrived. One man said God wants him to be rich so he can win the world. See, the world will run after riches. But when people came to Jesus, he didn't use that tactic. A man came to Jesus and said, I will follow you. And the way they're teaching and says God wanted taught, he would have told them, good choice. You will be rich beyond your wildest dreams. You will be a land baron over many lands. You will be high up the corporate ladder. You will become the CEO. You will not be a foreman down there on the line somewhere. You will be the CEO if you follow me. He said, the fox, this is what Jesus said. We need to hear a little more about what Jesus said about these issues. Can you say amen? Not some hot shot on television. In a pretty suit with a whole bunch of people cheering. Can you say amen? Because that's not necessarily what Jesus said. What Jesus said is found between the covers of that book. What Jesus said is going to stand when the world passes away. What Jesus said is the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rightfully divided. Praise God. We don't just need what would Jesus do, bracelets. We need what did Jesus say? WDJS. Man, we just get a copyright on that. Sell it. See, the problem is you couldn't sell a lot of them. You know why? Because a lot of people don't care what Jesus had to say. They're too committed to their leader. Their anointed leader is deciding what truth is instead of Jesus Christ. Jesus, last time I looked, he is supposed to be the head of the church. Not me, not you, not them, but him. Praise God. And he set an example, didn't he? Praise the Lord. And the disciples, didn't they set an example? They've written all kinds of books trying to make them the rich and powerful of this world. They said if they weren't rich, why'd they have a treasurer? Well, does anybody here have a bank account? Oh, you must be rich if you've got money to put in the bank. Why do you have a bank account? You got it right. Say it with me. Gravy through a goose. Don't get that picture in your mind now, but amen. Amen. You get paid, you put it in the bank. So you can write the checks, or if you have a direct deposit, if you have things that are paid directly out of the account, what happens by the next payday? What happens? to all that you put in the bank? Amen. Is it sitting there just growing and growing because you have a bank account? Or is it gravy through a goose? Wave at me if it's gravy through the goose. Amen. Does that mean you're rich? No. But they said, well, look, he had a treasurer. Okay. Why didn't they have the money to pay the temple tax since they were so rich? Why did they have to go and fish? Did you ever stop to think about these things? Can you say, man? Why did Jesus tell a man that said, I will follow you. I want to get on the bandwagon. I'm ready to go right now. Everybody say, right now. That's right. Right now. Amen. Man filling out a job application, asked the guy next to him, how do you spell rat? He said, R-A-T. Why? He said, because they asked me, when can you start work? And I wanted to tell them, right now. Can you say amen? Listen, right now. Listen to this real carefully. I'm so glad to not got caught up in that. I gotten close to it, but it didn't catch me, praise God. I saw a spider. He was catching bugs and wrapping them up the other day. I'm so glad I'm not one of those bugs. Can you say, man? I don't like spiders anyhow. Good ones, you say, well, the good ones catch roaches. I'll stomp the roaches, thank you. Can you say, man? I'll catch my own roaches. Amen. It's not that he wouldn't hurt you. If he got on me, he wouldn't hurt me, but I would hurt myself. Can you say, amen? There's no doubt about it. Listen to me. Amen. Listen, I'm so glad. I watched that spider before I sprayed him. I watched him out in the hedge, and he was wrapping up these bugs, and he had all these bugs all wrapped up, sucking the life out of them. And I thought, I'm so glad that I'm not a bug, and I'm also glad that I'm not a spider either, praise God. I don't want to be the bug or the spider. Amen. Amen. Heard a preacher said a guy in his church came down and he was praying. Said he always filled with confusion. He could never find peace in God. Amen. Peace in God is worth all the treasuries of this world. And he always had, he said, I heard him over and over. He said he would come down and he said, I had an associate minister with me. This guy would come every Sunday. He'd get down the altar and he'd cry every Sunday, Lord, get the cobwebs out of my head. Get the cobwebs out of my head. Get the cobwebs out of my head. He said his associate pastor got so tired of hearing it that he come down and was standing behind him when he said, Lord, get the cobwebs out of my head. He said, and Lord, while you're at it, kill the spider. Amen. Let's get to the root of the thing. If the devil is the one that's giving you trouble, let's bind the devil. Hallelujah. Let's get free. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's just amazing to me. I'm so glad I'm not wrapped up in this. I'm so glad my eyes are not set on someone with a great anointing and a great following. I'm so glad that the anointed one has come and his name is Jesus. And I'm so glad the very giver and grantor of the anointing, the manifester of the anointing is the Holy Spirit. And when he's come, he's going to do more than give you anointed gifts. He's going to guide you into all truth. His name is not just the power giver, the anointing granter. His name is the Spirit of Truth. Can you say amen? And the Bible said we have an unction, a special anointing, i.e. the Holy Ghost himself, that we might know all things as they are. I'm convinced there's a lot of people appointed, self-appointed, instead of God anointed. Because if you're God anointed, you'll tell the truth. And you'll tell the whole truth. And you will not twist the truth. Can you say amen? Who wouldn't follow Jesus for the wrong reasons? There's a book out not long ago trying to justify this stuff. It said, why I know that Jesus was not poor. I thought, what book did you read before you wrote your book? Because if you base it on the Bible, you can't say that. He had one robe that was worth gambling over by the soldiers. One robe. Everybody say one robe. I got a suit that I got at a fashion shop. It's a chap's blue suit. It needs to be hemmed. When my wife is freed up, she promised to hem it for me. It's a nice suit. It's the kind of suit that you'd like people to see the thing that the label. Amen. Minnie Pearl used to wear the label, the price tag of the hat hanging down. Cousin Minnie. It's a nice suit. It's really great. And I'm sure when I put it on, hemmed, and I put a coordinating tie and shirt and my shoes looking nice, I'm sure I'm going to look really good in that suit. I'm going to feel good in that suit. And there are occasions where I should wear that suit. There are occasions that I should wear it. Amen? But when I put that suit of clothes on, it's not changing anything about the man who's wearing it. It can make me look better. Somebody said you can take a pig and you can take him out of the pig pen. Go get him while he's still in the mud wallowing, and you can hose him down. And you can take your best shampoo and conditioner and take some of that body wash that's scented, and you can scrub him down and give a good whiff, and he smells so good. Amen. You can then take him into your boudoir, and you can take Chanel number 5. Is that still around? Only for older ladies, I guess now. They're all getting the new stuff. But Chanel number 5 is still good stuff. Amen? And you can spray him with Chanel number 5 or pat on your best aftershave. And now that pig has been groomed. He's been brushed. He's got Chanel, the fragrance of Chanel. And if you want to, you can put a tie on him. Amen? And a tutu. If you want to, you can really dress that pig up. Whatever you want to do, you can clean him up, spruce him up, dress him up. But if you take him to the back door, still who? Sean thinking about bacon. He don't even get what I'm talking about. He think about bacon. He see a pig, he see bacon and pork chop. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They that are of the flesh. Dude, there's my perfect example this morning. Just like those guys see dollar signs, he sees a pig, bacon, bacon. Amen. You take that pig to the back door, amen, back screen door, and he looks out in the backyard where that pig pen is and that hog waller. Guess what that pig's going to do? After all you did to get the outside of him looking so good, amen, he's a pig. He's going to do what his nature to do. Amen. He is not going to walk around, priss around the yard, and be careful he don't get anything on him after you cleaned him up. He's going to go back to his habitat. He's going to run right back to the hog pen. He's going to lay down. He's going to waller. And all you did to clean him up is not going to make any difference. I'm going to tell you something. They that are of the flesh will always go back. The proverb is true. The dog has what? What is it? He regurgitated that. It's nasty. It's filthy. You wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But what does the dog do? He goes right back and eats what he just regurgitated. Can you say amen? I'm convinced there are people that God has had a God encounter somewhere in their life. Amen. But the proverb is true. The dog is what? Returned to his vomit. I'm going to tell you something. You say all of that opulence and silver and gold emphasis, honey, that is trash. When that becomes our God, when that becomes our focus, amen, that is the refuge of this world. The Apostle Paul said, the things that I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung. Can you say amen? Why? Because if it takes me away from Jesus, if it takes the focus off of Jesus, if it takes me away from the kingdom of God, if it takes me away from the things of the Spirit and the things that are eternal, it's dung in comparison. Hallelujah. Listen, I've never been tempted by dung. Listen, I got a big old dog. Part of my job is not just to mow the yard and edge the yard. It's to go on poopy patrol. And that's when you get a Walmart, one of them little Walmart plastic bags, and you get a little scoop thing. I saw something in a magazine. I want it for Christmas. You know what it was called? A super duper pooper scooper. Honestly, it's in the back of a magazine. And you can stand up here. It's got tongs. And you don't even have to bend over. Because when you bend over, it's not my back. I'm not that old. But when I bend over, well, my back may hurt a little bit. But, amen, it's more my nose. I just don't want to get down, amen, that close. But this super duper pooper scooper, you can just get down there and grab it and you know, put it in something, a little something you pull along with you. But my job is to go out and pick that up. I've never been tempted to go over and take my shoes and socks off and walk around in that. No, I've never been tempted. I never wanted to pick it up with my bare hand. Can you say, man? I didn't like to smell it for a second. Made me want to get away from it. Put it in the bag. Get it all in the bag. Tie the top. Amen. Hang it on the fence till I can put it in the garbage. Can you say, man? Listen, when the value system changes, amen, when the things of this world go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, when we count the things that the world said is the highest reason for living, can you say, and the highest purpose in life, when we count that as but dung in relation to what we have in Jesus Christ, amen, the world is not going to woo us. The world is not going to blind us. The world is not going to tempt us anymore. Can you say, amen, love not the world nor the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passes away, and all of the lust for those things with it. But he that does the will of God is going to abide forever. Hallelujah. How did this happen? The church began to fall away from the things of the Spirit. Men are not seeking to be filled with the Spirit anymore. Even in Spirit-filled circles, men are not asking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But they want to be successful in their business. But they're not seeking to be filled with God and get closer to Him. I used to attend Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings. The leader of that, Brother Bob Taylor, he was saved in jail. That's where he came to Christ. Abe Brown, he was a prison minister back in the day. Abe's gone with the Lord now, I understand. He preached for us a couple of times. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm glad for people that didn't just live their life to accumulate the wealth of the world, but live their life, amen, for the kingdom of God and to see souls saved. Amen. Used to, souls were more important than silver and gold. Souls were more important than anything. There wouldn't be missionaries around the world. The gospel would have never got out of America. Amen. If rich fat cat preachers were the only ones around. It took people willing to leave it all behind and put their very life on the line. And the only reason there's a gospel in China is because people bled and died taking the gospel to China. The only reason there's a gospel in Africa is because people bled and died to take the gospel to Africa. Amen. These are the real heroes of the faith. These should be the real people we're looking up to. Can you say amen? These are the real celebrities, if you want to call them that, the people God is going to highly exalt on that day. Amen. None of these people that are preaching wealth ever gets a call to leave it behind and go in souls. If they can't win it from their limousine, their airplane, and their penthouse, they're not going to get one. And they're like the spider. Clouds they are in your feast. Entering into houses, leading silly women captive. And men. Because the men are following. Because they're not leading. They're not leading. Man has lost his leadership role. That's why Full Gospel Businessmen, you know what started, the man who started Full Gospel Businessmen, not Bob Taylor who was over this local area, but the man who started it. You know what he said? He said he went to a tent meeting. The power of God was coming down. People were getting saved. People were getting delivered. The tent was full, but there was hardly any men there. And he said, where are the men of God? Where are the men of God? Where are the men hungry for God? Where are men ready to take spiritual leadership? And he recognized there was a vacuum for male leadership. Oh, we want to be the head of our house. Well, what about being a spiritual head? Amen? We want the authority. How about taking the lead spiritually? My wife has come to me many times and we have a partnership. I want her on my team. Because two or more gathered, two or more of you on earth shall agree, be in harmony about. Well, when God called me to preach, I was going to leave a career with Tampa Electric Company. I'd worked hard to establish a career with Tampa Electric. You can get credit in Tampa if you work for TECO, because they're going to get their money. Amen. You might not buy that loaf of bread, but you're going to get that light bill paid somehow, some way. Can you say amen? You might not buy that new car, but you're going to get that light bill paid. You might not buy that new pair of shoes. She don't need none no how. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why she's barefooted? Holy ground. The whole place is holy ground. I'm serious. Listen. I could get credit anywhere. If I'd stayed with Tampa Electric, I would have more time than Terry. I started at 21 years old with Tampa Electric Company. I am 63, going on 64 in just a few months now. January will be 64. You add that up, over 40 years with TECO. Can you imagine how set I would be? Amen. To have my retirement from TECO, my Social Security. I can see me in a Winnebago, evangelizing the places that I love to go. Can you? Amen. I feel like they need some good preaching out there near the Grand Canyon. There's got to be churches in that area somewhere. Amen. Yellowstone. I know they need some preaching out there near Yellowstone National Park. They do, don't they? Amen. And I could see me in my Winnebago, my big motor home, motoring down the road, my dog sitting up on the dashboard looking out. Can you say amen? Everybody gets those fake dogs. I got a real one, does the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I left that. I don't regret it. I don't look back on it. I don't pine away about it. Listen, there are souls in the kingdom because I came to the Holy Church of God and I left my career at Tampa Electric and I put the kingdom first, because there was a time ministers got in this thing for the right reason. They didn't get in it for the fame. They didn't get in it for the following. They didn't get in it for the riches. They got in it for the kingdom of God. They got in it for the souls. Can you say amen? They wept over lost souls. They preached, amen, the message God gave them. They didn't worry about the consequences, whether they get an applause or not. They told the truth on Sunday morning, and the truth, friend, set a whole lot of people free, and I was one of them. Hallelujah. I don't think I would have ever come to Jesus with this watered down, perverted, polluted gospel that's being preached today, because I was bound up in chains of sin. Hallelujah. But when the word came under the anointing, and hell was hot and heaven was sweet to me, I didn't want to stay in that prison house, no matter what it cost. And I used to get down at an altar. It was so instilled in me, Sean. I would get down at an altar and I'd say, Lord, if you see that I'm going to fall away, kill me. Take me home to heaven. Stop me. Whip me. Chasten me. Intervene in my life, but don't let me go to hell. Now, we dare not talk about judgment to come. We dare not talk about where judgment begins in the house of God. We dare not talk about Ananias and Sapphira falling dead in church in the new covenant, because God is now this, he lives as a dispenser, a heavenly dispenser of my needs. I heard a guy say the other night on television, you can't hardly turn on TV and find inspiration anymore. Real inspiration from the Word of God and spiritual leadership. Someone talking about the things of the Spirit instead of the things of the world. He sat right there and looked in that camera with a big group of people, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, part of this movement, this ilk of preachers that are all together in the same bunch that I want to be distanced from. Amen. The fact that they wouldn't have me as part of their group is such an honor. I don't want to be known as affiliated. Oh, Brother Venable, what about the love for the brethren? Honey, I am not sure. You would have to convince me that these are my brethren. Amen. Do you hear me? You said, are you questioning their salvation? Honey, when a man gets saved, his values have to change. Can you say, man, if there isn't a change, I would question my salvation. Amen. Are you listening to me? The value has to change. The perimeter has to change. If any man be in Christ, what happens? Amen. He's just like the world. His values match the world. No, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't serve two masters. And when you change masters, Jesus becomes your Lord. Heaven becomes your home. You realize we are pilgrims. You know what the Bible said? I beseech you. As what? How should we see ourselves and our whole journey through this life? I beseech you. As pilgrims and strangers. Can you say amen? You don't put your roots down deep. You don't try to mimic or match the values of this world. I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers. Hallelujah. Abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul. I wish that you prosper. People see prosper, they think of money. Amen. God will take care of the money part, but He's interested in far more than just the money part. Can you say amen? Listen, even as your soul prospers. See, the great thing is when your soul prospers, amen, the money doesn't hold that place in your heart anymore. Can you say amen? When you're so caught up in Jesus and the things of the Spirit that your soul is satisfied. Amen. We used to sing it and we meant it because we come from poor backgrounds, but we were rich in Jesus. Can you say amen? Nobody felt poor in that church. Not because of the car we drove or the clothes we wore, but the Lord that we served. Hallelujah. The kingdom that we possessed. Hallelujah. I used to stand on Sunday morning after coming to Jesus and we were singing, drinking from the springs of living water. Happy. Now am I. Why? Because my soul is satisfied. I'm drinking from the springs of living water. Hallelujah. And we used to drink deep on Sunday morning. Amen. If you don't drink deep of Jesus as a Christian, you're going to go out that door and I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go after the very things the world says will make you happy. Amen. We got a new refrigerator and everybody wanted to know, is it stainless steel? Does it have to be to keep your ice cream cold? Is the milk going to taste better? Do you pour it out in the bottom and then drink it from a straw? Does it have to be stainless steel? No, I know what they were saying. You know, when you redo your kitchen, that's the nice stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You're going to get used to that. Amen. The first few days, you're going to go in the kitchen and just stare at your fridge. Say, whoa, look at that fridge. Amen. But I guarantee you, after 30 days of that stainless steel fridge, we got a nice black fridge, but it makes ice, so we're happy with it. Amen. And it matches our kitchen better than stainless steel. We don't have that kind of kitchen anyway. Amen. But anyhow, you know, you can just look at that. But after 30 days, you're going to go in there to get your ice out of that. You're going to go in there to get your milk and your bologna and your hot dogs and your bacon. Can you say amen? Amen. Your ice cream out of the freezer. It don't matter where it's stainless or where. Listen, spend a little time in the mission field. See the joy of those people. Look at Christians in church that's got the stainless steel. Well, I got my stainless steel fridge and stove. Well, boy, I got my Hummer to go to work in. Amen. Got me a Hummer to go to work in. Sucker gets about 10 miles to the gallon on the road, about 6 miles in town. But I'm going to work in my Hummer. Oh, the Hummer. You can't just get the Hummer. You got to get rid of the stock wheels that come with it. You got to get wheels this big around. And you got to get wheels that cost $500 each. Can you say, man? You got $2,000 worth of rubber on that thing and tires and wheels on that bad boy. So you can drive to the Publix and get your groceries and put it back in your Hummer. Amen. After a while, the Hummer's no big deal. After a while, you don't stand and polish your wheels no more. Can you say, man? You're just going to get your groceries because you've got to eat. And after a while, all this stuff wears off. After a while, it starts wearing thin. Can you say amen? We see some of these people wearing more gold around their neck. amen, that looked like they'd have to go to the Egyptian doctor once a week, amen, to give them a treatment. You know what an Egyptian doctor is? Chiropractor. Can you say amen? Listen, they wear all that gold around their neck. I'd be afraid something happened to my neck if I was. What do I need to wear that gold all over around my neck? Big chunks of it. Can you say amen? Because I'm trying to prove to the world that I'm right up where you are. I have arrived. Amen. Listen, when we arrive, what is it? What is there when we arrive? Listen, there's nothing there. That's the whole point. The church used to have something that the world couldn't duplicate, couldn't replicate. The world looked at us and said, I've been trying all my life to find fulfillment and happiness. And those people going in that building right now are going in happy, and they're coming out happy. They're going in fulfilled. They're coming out fulfilled. Their marriage is staying together because they're not looking for somebody to make them happy. They found somebody to make them happy. Can you say amen? Woo! Right now, our marriages are not any better than the world's as far as standing up to the pressures. They're breaking down. Tongue-talking Christians are not faring any better than anybody else. Power doesn't keep you. A person keeps you. Things don't make you happy. He is the giver of life. And in Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. And I used to be so hungry for Him. They had a prayer line. I was just hungry for God. Didn't know how to get close to Him on my own. But boy, if they had a prayer line, I was in it. I didn't have an ailment. God healed me of cancer. He healed me through and through. Didn't have an ache, a pain. Didn't have nothing in my body. We had enough to get by. We gave to the church. We met our obligations, and we didn't. That's all we cared about, because we had Him. And our desire was more of Him. More of Him, more of Him, more of Him. Amen. Not more wealth, but could you use a bigger house? Certainly. God gives me one someday, I will enjoy it. I would love to have a walk-in closet. I have to get a flashlight and get down when I start looking for something in the bottom. And I have to start shoving stuff around to find where and it's not Pamela's shoes, she got her own closet. She got a closet, and then there's a little place, a cupboard-like thing, and it's got her stuff too. So I just got my closet. And my closet's not a big closet. And so I got down with my flashlight looking around, and one day I was just frustrated because I said, I got so much in my closet. You know, I got so much in here, I can't find anything. And then I thought, dear Lord, I remember when we first got married. You could find it real easy. Can you say, man, you're just looking, there's the shoes here, there's a pair of pants right there, and there's a coat right there, and there's two ties hanging on the back of that coat hanger. Praise God. I'm glad. Isn't it great to turn that into a blessing and say, thank you, Lord, for enough stuff, stacked on stuff. Because if you've ever been poor, you don't throw away nothing. Amen. I may need that someday. Amen. We got three utility sheds, and we've been eyeing another one. Amen. What all's in that? I have no earthly idea. I know I've been married for almost 47 years, and I remember we didn't have nothing, nor a window to throw it out. Can you say amen? So it's all in them sheds. If our house burns down, we can refurbish the whole house from the utility sheds. There's pots and pans and dishes and glasses and towels and wash rags and Lord knows what. Amen. So, we don't get rid of nothing. It's all in utility shed. He's my cousin. He must have been Poe when he was young too. Hallelujah. Poe man hangs on to it. Might need it someday. Can you say amen? Oh, but we were rich in the Lord. We were rich in the Lord. Amen. I'd be in that line and people asking for all these things. Lord, help me make my house payment. Well, my house payment was made. Help me with my utility bills. Pray that God will bring my husband back, my wife back. Pray for my flaky kids. My kids wasn't old enough to be that flaky yet. So I didn't have needs in my body, all these physical needs, and they're coming down to me. And here I come, right in that line, walking on down. Amen. And what is your need? Pray that I get closer to God. And I'm already crying. And they would be sweet to me and lay hands on me and say, draw him, Lord. Draw him close to you. He's hungry, Lord. Fill him and draw him. Amen. And God understood my intention. Even though I wasn't framing that prayer correctly as I understand it now. Amen. But God understood my heart because my heart was after the living God. Amen. I wanted more of Jesus. Hallelujah. More of Jesus. And when they would mention his name, all it took, because my heart would melt and the tears would run down my cheeks. Jesus. Jesus. Just the mention of his name. And I moved without a financial change at all. I moved immediately into a life of abundance like I had never known. Because I went to work with a peace reigning in my heart, with a joy bubbling in my soul. Amen. I used to hear those messages on his soon coming. And I would get to work, and I would get so worked up thinking about his coming, I'd be crying and praising God when I got to the parking lot. And then I'd realize if I go in there with them old red eyes, look like I, you know, and old, you know how you cry and you get puffy? I look in the rearview mirror, and I'd be all puffy, and my nose be running, and I have to try to clear all that up and wipe my eyes, and people probably thought I had eye problems. Can you say, amen? What it was on the way to work, I'd start praying. About halfway there, while I was praying, the Spirit of God would show up in the car with me, and then I'd start worshiping him and loving on him and him loving on me, and the tears and other stuff just start running in that car, and God didn't care. Amen. My heart was melting before the Lord. I talk to people about those things today, and they look at me like a calf at a new gate. They have no earthly idea what I'm talking about. They have never experienced God at that level. They've never known that kind of hunger. They think the abundant life is when they are so anointed that everybody's applauding them when they've got such revelations. Everybody can't wait to hear what they have to say. Can you say, man? And the flesh will keep on exalting itself and feeding off of people's adulation. But Robert Gass stood, amen, at that fountain. And he said, I want to drink deep again from your presence. I want Jesus in my life like he used to be in my life before I was ever even called to preach. And he said, God restored me and he refilled me and he gave me my family back and my sanity back and my peace back. But he had to get back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. And I really believe that's why God called this old boy to preach the gospel. Because he knew it's the gospel that I would preach. Can you say amen? And here's the consolation to me in this little group of people that God has chosen to send his word out, and it's going to China where there's a God-driven revival. And believe me, they will appreciate everything that comes out of this church. Can you say amen? People are talking to them about cars and stuff. They don't have that. They're having to sacrifice and give those things up to stand up for Jesus Christ. That won't help them at all. But when you tell them, whatever you're sacrificing, he's worth it. Amen. His peace, his joy, his kingdom. Can you say, man, he's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. If you go to jail, he's worth it. If they take your job away and you have to, he's worth it. Can you say, man, if they threaten your life, he's worth it. Be faithful unto death. He'll give you a crown of life. It's worth more than anything this world can offer. He's worth it. Hallelujah. Well, we didn't get to our first scripture, but we had a good prelude. Amen. Noah, the eighth from Adam, always thought he just built an ark. But the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. Can you say amen? Amen? A preacher of what? Of righteousness. Glory to God. We need today some preachers of righteousness. Hallelujah. Because righteousness exalts a whole nation of people. There was a time when America held that place with God's blessing. We're not there anymore. We're vulnerable. We are in danger, grave danger. We just celebrated 9/11, and I watched some of the footage of how our enemies came through. They asked Billy Graham's daughter on national television, I think it was CBS at the time, they asked her, where was God? The commentator had the audacity to want her to explain God. People who don't give God the time of day, 365 days a year, Christmas is about Santa Claus and gifts and vacation. Want to know where God is when there's a national tragedy? Where was God? That's His job. And I loved her answer. I was at Sears when it was in this mall down here before they moved it, having work done on my car, sitting with a group of people. And I remember her answer. It wasn't that Sears. I'm sorry, another Sears. But anyway, I was there. And I loved her answer. She says, we don't want God in our schools or prayer. We tell Him, you're not welcome here. We don't want God on our university campuses. We say it on no uncertain terms. This is a God-free zone. We don't want God in our courtrooms. We take His commandments and say, they're not welcome here. What you have to say to us, the rules you've laid down for man to live by, is not welcome in a courtroom. You remember when they were trying to get that granite replication of the Ten Commandments out of a courtroom in Alabama? You remember what they did until they could wheel it out? They brought in a tarpaulin. And they took God's holy law for man to live by that He created, that He has every right to tell us how to live. And they covered it up. Veterans saw it recently. They have a cemetery somewhere out in the Midwest for veterans, a military cemetery. And guess what's on those graves? If they're going to start this, they got a big job. They got tens of thousands of graves with crosses on them. But because it was government land, they don't want the cross to stand on it. They have a big cross marking this cemetery. And they had to go out there with plywood and make a box, take it up and cover up that cross with the box. And then we want to know, where was God? Why didn't God protect us? Where was God? How did He let this happen? Stay out of our politics. Stay out of our education system. Stay out. Get the manger scene out of the town square. Because a city can't promote a religion. And the preachers are going to kill 3 million babies this year as a form of birth control. Not to protect the mothers, just because of an inconvenient pregnancy in America. But we are going to prosper. The breakthrough's almost here. Oh, we're just about, there's no prophet. There's no prophet. There's no prophetic word. Come on, this is just, we're going to somehow, judgments are going to fall all around us, but we're going to be in God's little bubble. And we're just going to live in opulence while the world gets punished. What happens to America is going to happen to us. Remember when gas threatened to go to $5? I don't know about you, but when I pulled into the pump, God didn't miraculously run it back to 98 cents a gallon for me. There's a godless man filling his vehicle up in front of me. Guess what? We paid the same price. When Israel went into captivity, a righteous man, Jeremiah, he went down into Babylon with them. The Bible said you need to be interceding for those that are leading your nation. Amen. That you might what? That you might live a peaceable life. Pray for kings. Pray for, I don't care who's in authority, whether it's your guy or their guy. Amen. Pray for whoever it is, because their decision is going to affect you. Their decision is going to affect me. They're going to affect us. And this promise of blessing has not come through, and nobody is checking out the preachers or the prophet. Nobody will question them. We want it to be true so bad, we won't even question. And I was sitting there watching as they celebrated the anniversary of 9/11 and seeing the devastation, the terror that struck this nation. And a scripture came to my mind that every time they celebrate that, it comes back. Jesus forgave. He's so gracious. And He said, go and sin no more, lest what? A worse thing come upon you. Oh, I don't want to hear that, preacher. Honey, it doesn't matter. This has no bearing on what I preach. You ought to know that by now. You say, Brother Bimble, there's a church down here. Don't make me feel that way. Well, honey, go to the feel good church because you're not in it this morning. Can you say amen? I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you the truth. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to use a word here, but you can figure it out. It's H-E double hockey sticks. Does anybody know what that word might be? Amen. I'm not going to say it because there's too much of that going on. But Harry Truman, they give him when he was president, they gave him a moniker, a name. They called him, give him H-E double hockey sticks Truman. Amen. And you know how he answered? He says, I don't give them H-E double hockey sticks. I tell them the truth, and they think it's H-E double hockey sticks. I like that. If you preach the truth in this generation, they're going to think you're... People have told me all my life, oh, he preaches hard. No, I preach the truth. And the truth ain't hard unless you got an issue with it. The truth ain't hard unless you want to walk in the flesh. The truth ain't hard unless you love the world. If you love Jesus, the truth ain't going to hurt you. It's going to help you stay in love with Him. Stay close to Him. Amen. Keep you in a place where God can bless you and keep you. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise today. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel His good favor. I appreciate your hand clap, but I feel Him right now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The truth will set you free. Hallelujah. It'll give you true peace and it'll give you true joy. Would you stand to your feet today? Give the Lord a hand clap now, the best one of all. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you today. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something about you today. If I didn't tell the truth, you wouldn't be here, because if I'm going to be mealy-mouthed like everybody else, you'd be at a church with a lot more amenities and prestige. Can you say amen? I got to believe you're here because you know you're going to hear the truth. I got to believe you're here because you really believe you're going to hear from God and not just from a man's sermon designed to stimulate giving or to stimulate more people to come so we can count more heads and call ourselves successful. I believe God is going to use ministries like this, Sean. Amen. I really believe it. Amen. But it's going to have to get a little worse before they want to listen. And it's going to get worse. How do you know? Because God is not mocked. That's how I know what's coming. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He said, you don't just reap it, but you don't just reap it in the exact amount that you sowed when it comes to judgment. It's multiplied. Actually, it's multiplied either way you go. Seed is multiplied. Can you say amen? You have sown the wind, but you will reap the whirlwind. We've boasted ourselves nationally against the true vine. And the Bible said there's real danger in just using grace to cover your sin. It said if God judged His own people, the covenant people, Israel, because of disobedience, don't you boast against that true vine because you're under grace in the new covenant. Can you say amen? It said if He judged them and cut them off, not abandon them, but punish them for their sin. He'll punish you for your sin. Amen? Don't boast yourself. You're a wild olive branch. You've been grafted in. You have the benefits and the blessings and the responsibilities. Can you say amen? And the responsibilities to bow to no other God. Can you say amen? To listen to what our God has to say. To give heed to His voice and not to walk in rebellion against Him. You can't have these privileges without these obligations. It wasn't there for them. It's not there for us. This cheap grace is not found in Scripture. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in that new covenant church under the full grace of God after the cross. Amen? Paul said the judgment didn't stop there. It was happening when they turned communion into a picnic, when they went to church to fulfill the lust of the flesh and not honoring the holy things. Gratify my flesh, I'll come. And he said, for this cause, many of you are sick, judgments in your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Live just like the world. Compromise sexually and sensually and otherwise. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You can't have that blessing without the responsibility. Keep it holy. Why? For whoever defiles the temple purposely, willingly, with a heart of rebellion, I could leave my wife. I could go down here to Ebo City. I could order me a drink. I could find me a loose woman. I could go home with her. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. My body, I'm really baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is not a come tie my bow tie stuff with me. I'm not parroting somebody. Amen. The Spirit of God does indwell me. Amen. I can defile this temple, but I can't get by with it. Can you say amen? He that defiles the temple, you watch for me. You want to see me old with a gray beard in my rocking chair writing my memoirs? You'll never see me there if I keep going down that road. Him shall God what? Not the devil. Come on. Now, he may use the devil. He may let the devil loose. But I'm going to tell you something. It's God that's offended. It's God that we need to repent to. We need to quit blaming the devil and get right with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't care whose prayer line you get in. I don't care how anointed they are. If we don't get right with God, we can't get healing back in the church. You can't write a check and not repent. It's not that simple. It's God who's offended. It's God we need to get right with. You can't make that evangelist rich and make God bless you in spite of what needs to be put right. And just because he don't preach it, don't mean it's not written and God's not going to go by it. You better get in a church where somebody does preach it. Can you say, man, this is dangerous stuff. This is dangerous stuff. Him shall God what? Destroy. Why? Because where does judgment start? It starts at the house of the Lord. If we don't get the fear of the Lord back, the Bible is going to become an irrelevant book that we only use to get what we want from. Can you say, man, it's like a Sears catalog to us. No, this is holy stuff. Glory be to God. Amen. I have to use humor every now and then because when I sit there and watch that, I can get so pushed down, so heartbroken that I can't even preach, that I can't bear it. So I want you to know my smiles and my humor is because I've got to believe that there's a God who loves me and who loves His church, who has a revival in store for us in spite of all of this. But it doesn't minimize what I'm talking about this morning. Paul said people are sick in church with a covenant of healing. They're dying way before their time. And he said there's a reason for it. And this is the reason for it. The holy things are not revered. God's word is not obeyed. And the greatest healing and anointing in the world could flow into that place. But if those people didn't set that right, what was the judgment for sensual sin? Jesus said, you've got a Jezebel preaching, and you're happy to have it that way. Jesus wrote that to the church. He said, you have a Jezebel. You have a Jezebel standing in the pulpit teaching through example of my people to commit sexual sin. He said, number one, she's under my judgment. She may look prosperous now, but she's under my judgment, my consternation. It's coming. Amen. There's a slow train coming round the bend. Amen. The wheels of God turn slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. He watches over His word to perform it. Not just the good stuff, but the judgment stuff too. Amen. Whatever He said, He will bring it to pass. Can you say amen? He said, she said, I'm going to judge her with death. Amen. I'm going to judge her with death. And said, tell them that are following her to get away from her. Disassociate themselves from her teaching and example. Otherwise, I'm going to throw them into a bed of adultery with her and judge them just like I'm going to judge her. Amen. Come out of her. Come out of her is the cry in the New Testament. My people, you're not like the world. You're not of the world. Come out. of the system. Come out of its morals. Come out of its standard. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. I'll be a God to you again. Hallelujah. I'll heal you. I'll deliver you. I'll take care of you. I'll come through when you pray. You'll be my sons and my daughters. But you got to come out. Babylon. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. Come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her plagues. Come on, this separateness from the system called the world, this separateness from the value system called the world. Amen. We got to get that back in the Church of Jesus Christ. Can you You know what Moses did when he come off of that mountain? He took the head, he took a spear, and he drew a line in the sand. Can you say amen? If you want to, you're trying to blend Jehovah with idols that you've made with your hands. Can you say, man, they won't blend? They won't blend. We serve a jealous God. Not because he's being mean, because he doesn't want divided hearts. He knows the devil will win if we get divided hearts. He drew a line in the sand with a spear. And then he said these words, who is on the Lord's side among you? Can you say, man? Amen. Listen. We need to draw that line. We need to clearly delineate what it means to be on the Lord's side. Amen. And we need to challenge every Christian. Who's on the Lord's side among you? In the name of love, we blurred the line. I told my children when we lived on Lime Street in Plant City, we were right in front of a road. I told my son, don't you ever let me catch you in that road with your cars and your trucks. No, you play on up here on the sidewalk. You play up here in the carport. But here I delineated to him, don't you ever let me catch you in that road. And one time I caught him come home from work, and there he was. And I thought, I've seen him run down this road fast, 30 miles an hour. They don't honor that. There's some of them go 50. Amen. And what if my son couldn't get out of the way and they couldn't stop? And I come home and my son is crushed under a car or truck. I'd rather whip his hide, get his attention, remind him there's a line. Can you say, man, than to see him crushed in an emergency room dying and hurting? Can you say, man, that little sting of my whipping ain't nothing compared to what we do experience. Amen. Caught up in the undercarriage of a car or truck. Hold on. I drew the line. When God chastens, it's not because he's mad at us. It's because he loves us too much to leave us in harm's way. Can you say, man, he loves us too much? We think we're in love with a smiling preacher that only tells us what we want to hear. Honey, that is not love in the Bible or out of the Bible. A man that loves his son chastens him more than once. Why? Because he cares what's going to happen to him. God cares. Believe it or not, God loves the church. Can you say amen? Loves it enough to give himself for it and enough to chasten it. You don't want to die. You don't want to draw your last breath one of these days and discover, because no preacher's ever challenged you, that the footsteps coming down the hall are not coming to take you to heaven. You don't want to get down to that, to discover that. Woe to the preachers who won't preach that, because that's where you're going to live forever. That's not about the riches and the gold and the stuff that's all going to be left here when you go. But you're going. Everybody's going. And everybody's going somewhere. And everybody's going to live where they go forever and ever. And preachers that say, I'm not called to preach that. Honey, every preacher that's ever been called to preach is called to preach that. Because that is an important part of the gospel. And Jesus preached about hell more than heaven. And you can do the math in your New Testament. Today, you wouldn't even know there was a hell. If you weren't old school and somebody hadn't told you the truth years ago, if you were just a new convert in the modern church age, you wouldn't even know hell existed. Oh, you'd hear little words, but they would be little fantasy places. Nothing that you could really, really understand, appreciate. Amen? People don't fear the judgment to come because they don't even believe one is coming. Nobody ever told them it's coming, and yet it is coming. Is the worst thing coming on America if there's not a revival? I'm not talking about religious popularity. I'm not talking about people shaking tambourines and all that. I'm talking about godliness. I'm talking about righteousness. And the Bible is very clear what it takes to be right with God. If there's not a revival in America, you think you're going to just live out your life under His blessing and none of these things are going to affect you, you're wrong. I want to see a revival. I sit there on the couch and it welled up on the inside of me, the Spirit of God. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon me. Now this is not a prophecy, but I'm going to close with this. I get this feeling. Whether it's the Lord or not, I don't know. I pray that intercession will change it. But I got a feeling that someday in a major city, it won't be planes into buildings. The greatest fear right now is a dirty bomb. And a dirty bomb doesn't decimate the city. It's not designed to decimate the whole city. You know what it's designed to do? It's designed to release radiation, period. The explosion is just to let the radiation out. And you don't have immediate casualties on a large scale, maybe 100, 150 people in that little blast area for a dirty bomb. It's not releasing the power of the blast. It's the power of the radioactivity. And there are cities that even if all the people finally die and they quarantine it, it's a gone city. It might as well have been devastated, obliterated. Because when they had a leak in Chernobyl in Russia, it was years before you could grow a product on that land. It was months before you could walk back into that, even into that area. And you say, well, God wouldn't let that happen to America. They did it in Japan. Listen to me. When did America get above Israel? When did we become greater than the true vine? When did we get so proud and boastful that we can pull God out of the closet and use Him for our blessing, but not serve Him as our God and put Him back in the box when the trouble passes? When can we worship mammon, lock, stock, and barrel, unashamedly, unabashedly? And it's not only these preachers, it's that God's people love to have it like that. They pour it in. They pour it in hope of getting bushels back, because that's what they're looking for. This world, this life, being right with God is not even an issue. It's all in the checkbook. As long as I'm in this pulpit, if it gets down to three people, the radio broadcast can go out of here and it can be a headquarters. I'm going to tell the truth. Somewhere in China, somebody's going to embrace and say, listen, we need revival in our nation. We need Jesus more than we need anything else that the Western world has to offer us. And I'm going to make a prophetic, not just a prediction now. I believe that missionaries are going to come from places like China, and South Korea, and South America to come here to bring the gospel to American churches. Because right now we're so success-oriented. Preachers are being churned out of Bible colleges looking for where can I go to make the best salary? What can I preach to get the best following? Instead of how can I bring a word from the Lord? Can you say amen? Shalom, you're hard-pressed to get a word from the Lord on Sunday morning. You'll get it read from a book, but it'll be choice what the preacher chose to read, not necessarily what God, because there's a lot more in that book than just what I'm hearing. Can you say amen? I got saved, I wanted more of God. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I wanted more of God. Hallelujah. And as I sought more of Him, the things of this world grew dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Glory be to God. As it is written, I will hide you in my pavilion. I am your rock, your refuge. Yea, saith God, I'm your deliverer. But you must bow to me and to me alone. Going to ask you what you won't hear on television ask you. Who are you bowing to today? Where will you go in the day of trouble? Who will be your help? Who will be your deliverer? We also just celebrated Katrina, the anniversary of Katrina. I want you to know something. Your government didn't show up while people were dying. They were not equipped. They can't handle it all. They didn't handle it. Just like all other government stuff, the red tape is like quagmire. Can you say, man, no one could make a decision? Standing there with the National Guard looking at that city with hurting, dying people, and a Walmart truck on national news went by delivering to the Walmart and got through. Safe enough to deliver to Walmart, but the National Guard armed, amen, to the teeth and trained, couldn't go down in there and pull some people out of the water until they got a word from somebody who had to get a word from somebody who had to get a word from somebody else who were dragging their feet. Can you say amen? Because it was just a bunch of poor people down in New Orleans. Can you say amen? Well, listen to me. God loves those poor people down in New Orleans. And they're worth more, amen, than Walmart's goods. Can you say amen? If it was your daddy, your mama, your son, your daughter, can you say amen? I'm just telling you, the government can't step up, step in, and handle all of this. We got to have God back in America. We got to have His blessing back in America. Stretch your hand this way. Let's come into agreement today. Let's make a covenant that we're going to stand for God's truth as it's written in the Word of God, no matter what the world does around us. Praise God, we've had people come in here, and everyone without exception said they sensed God here. They sensed the anointing here, but something made them not want to come back. And I'm going to tell you exactly what that something was. From time to time, we're going to hit a service like this, and the truth is going to be brought forth in this place. And if you don't have a love of the truth, you're going to hunt a church where people are just like you are. Compromised preachers and compromised church members where you can fit right in and never be challenged or convicted. Can you say amen? But if you come here, you will be challenged. If you come here and there's sin in your life or mine, we will be convicted. I welcome the Holy Ghost to convict me, Sean. I've never had a love affair with bugs, but there's something about seeing. I saw a butterfly, beautiful winged butterfly, wrapped up in that spider's web, and this big black and white spider sitting up there. Amen. And the butterfly was still had a little life in it. And I knew it was too late, because it had been injected with the poison. But you know what I wanted, Sean? I wanted to, number one, I wanted to kill that spider. And I wanted to get that butterfly. I wanted to try to somehow unwind that web. I wanted to see that butterfly be able to go about his business. He ain't hurting nobody. Amen. That spider just waiting. He's done got him wrapped up. Listen, there's something in my heart. I can't help it this morning, Sean. There's something in my heart. I see people wrapped up. Amen. And the devil can suck the life out of them while a preacher's telling them a peace that doesn't exist. Because they don't love them. Blind dogs that cannot bark. Laying down, loving to slumber. Greedy. Let the sheep perish. The hireling flees when the wolf comes. I ain't going to put myself on the line for none of those people. They're just financial supporters. That's all they are. Their souls, their destiny, whether they're wrapped up in sin and headed for destruction is nothing to me. Send me the card. Send me the letter. Send me the check. I don't care about your soul. I can't preach without caring for souls. It gets intense up here. Backsliders and compromisers in the audience. And the Holy Ghost comes and challenges with love, but He challenges. Amen. And people get uncomfortable and they know they can go down the street. They can get it cut and dried. They can get it on their level. Most of the people in the audience are living just like they are, so they don't convict them. Can you say amen? Preacher's done the same things they're doing. The preacher can't convict them. Can you say amen? But what is coming? The soul that sins shall surely... What is the judgment? What is the judgment against sin? The soul that sins shall surely... It may not happen tomorrow, the next day, but it's coming. And spiritual death has already set in. The prodigal son could not get restored till he came home. Can you say amen? The father couldn't give him the ring out there. Come on, this is a lie out of the pit of hell. The father couldn't bless him out there. The father couldn't keep him out there. He had to come home. He had to repent. He had to turn his back on that life. How many will come into a covenant to stand on God's truth? You know I don't preach like this every Sunday. But unless we see revival in America, worse things coming. And they know it's coming. As a matter of fact, everybody advising Mr. Obama right now in the military is saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how. But it's coming because they are dedicated. Can you say amen? If you can't get it through anywhere else, bring it from Mexico. Because they sure can't stop you from coming there. And you say, this is not against people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying there are already wide gaps in the borders. Amen. They're bringing drugs in here by the boat full. Are you listening to me? They're bringing drugs in here by the plane load. With all of the military, Coast Guard, because money. They bribe security guards down in Miami. You know what they do in Miami? Can I tell you? We're going to close. But this is important to this church and ministry today. I've held you long for a reason. Down in Miami, they go to a security person. You know what they give him? They give him a picture of his family. His children getting out of school. They got a photograph. They know his children. They know them by name. They know when they get out of school and what bus they ride home. They show a picture of his wife getting off from work or picking up children at daycare. And they said, here's your wife. Here's your children right here. We know where they are and we can get them anytime we want to. Can you say amen? And we got the money to hire the hitmen that will do it without a conscience. Amen. And here is $10,000 in your hand or $20,000 in your hand. Now we'll either, and listen, you can save your children and have this money, or you can go to the law and we'll kill your children. All you got to do is look the other way for 5 minutes. That puts a man in a hard place. Not only the lure of the money, but the threat of your kids being killed. It's not just the money. And the drugs keep on pouring in. Pouring in. Pouring in. And if what's happening in Mexico right now is like a war between the police and the drug lords and each other, if that ever comes across that border, we're going to have some real problems here in America. Because the demand for drugs here is so pervasive and so strong. Because all the riches and wealth and prosperity of this nation has not filled that empty hole in the heart of men and women. We used to preach that Jesus could do that, and Jesus would do that. And we lived a life that said, if you are empty and you haven't found what the meaning of life, come to church with me on Sunday morning. Can you say, man, we know where the fountain is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, Kosanda, Meshalaba. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Let's make a covenant for truth and see what God does with us. See what He does with this ministry. Stretch your hand this way if you will. I don't do this every Sunday, praise God, but this Sunday is different. Father, I love you. I love your church. I love your people. I love your kingdom. I love this nation as well. Not on the level of my love for you, but I love America. I'm glad to be an American. I don't want to see more judgment on this nation. I want to see the blessing restored. I want to see a God-driven revival in the church. I want to see righteousness preached from pulpits in America. I want to see God's people embrace that message and repent. Hallelujah. I want to see marriages beat the odds. I want to see Christians with a bulwark around their families. Hallelujah. I want to see our children saved and delivered. Hallelujah. Not bound, amen, and drawn into the world. Hallelujah. I want to see healing back in the church. I want to see people healed again. Amen. And that are covenant children of the God of Abraham. Amen. I want to hear the joyful sound when victory is restored and God draws near to us. And Father, I pray that this people will covenant with me to see this. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone that believes God's going to honor this message and send it somewhere He wants it beyond here said, amen and amen and amen. It just might end up in China. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But thank God for the Chinese Christians. Hallelujah. Lord, pray for us in China that we will see that kind of revival here in America one more time. Amen. Do you love the Lord today? Shake hands with somebody. Oh, as we go, would you just praise God? I just feel like praising Him as late as it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sean, would you?